Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour number two. Joel Klatten, 30 minutes live in L.A. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. It is Wednesday. Be a sub above. So happy right now. By the way, it's getting cold and wet in Los Angeles. We always need a little rain. Keep the green green. And that becomes snow. Utah's getting a big snowstorm tonight, so all the mountains are getting snow. The coast is getting rain.
How long have you been skiing?
Well, I skied. Did I ever tell you why I learned to ski? Because I didn't grow up as a skier.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of money.
No, you never.
And so this really cute girl asked me out. I'm the only guy in the world that learned to ski in Vegas. So this really cute girl asked me out. She goes, "You want to go skiing?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And then I drove away and I thought, I don't know how to ski. So I went to Mount Charleston. That's about an hour out of town in Vegas, little mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I skied three straight days, fell for three straight days. I was bruised everywhere. I was a wreck. I taught myself how to ski. And then about 3 days later, we went skiing. And I was bad, but she wasn't great either. And that was it. Like everything, women controlled my life.
Wait, so you went on your own to learn how to ski?
3 days in a row, fell hard for 3 days. I mean,
when you went to ski with her, you weren't as embarrassed.
Oh, yeah, because I had to give her a game. I'm like, oh, I love skiing. No, what I did is loved her.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah, I figured clearly. The skiing part out.
Yeah, no, I...
So then I've done all my skiing primarily in right. Utah. So then I went to Utah and I learned how to ski in Park City. And so that and Utah's got the softest, fluffiest snow ski in the world.
That's it where really, I took a lesson, yeah.
Yeah, but could take lessons. I didn't. Now I would say every few years, if I want to dust up on it, and I had my first ski accident last year. I've had two. One in Vermont and one last year I broke a rib. Yeah. But you know what?
You've been to Vermont, huh?
Oh, skiing in Vermont's no fun, though. It's all ice. But if you can ski in Vermont, you can ski anywhere.
Yeah, the thing about skiing is I'm not a big equipment activity person.
Yeah.
So I like to keep it very simple.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot going on. Plus the mountain. And I just don't understand like how you're not in just constant fear the entire time.
Well, there's a little bit of that, but that you know.
That's the thrill.
Hey. My middle name is Danger.
It's
and last
it
year
it is beautiful though once you get up there.
Oh, it's so much fun. Like anything, it's so much fun with your kids, teaching my daughter how to ski or my son. Those are the great memories. So I want to talk about this. It is funny. We all know this to be true, that if you find the right partner in life, man or woman, everything else kind of works out. You're going to sleep better. You're going to laugh more. You're going to be happier. You're going to be more fun to be around. You're going to look forward to work more. Like if you find the right partner, it solves a lot of problems. And we know in the NFL, similarly, once you find the right quarterback, it just gets easier. It's then just a matter of finding the right coach for the quarterback, finding the right personnel for the quarterback's strengths and weaknesses. So in the last 5 years, there have been 20 quarterbacks taken in the first round. 20. And as is always the case, 6 or 7 are either busts or pending busts. A pending bust would be like Daniel Jones. We're not sure. Busts, you know who they are. So 6 or 7, a third, chaos. We got to find a new guy. 6 or 7 are good enough to win the Super Bowl. Mahomes already has. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray. I'd put Lamar Jackson in there. Some wouldn't. So it's 6 or 7. So 6 or 7 are busts are out. Chaos. 6 or 7, those franchises, they can already start building other stuff. New England, Baltimore, Kansas City, L.A., Cincinnati, Arizona, Buffalo. And I say New England because New England is now officially 12, 13 games in. They're already in the good enough to win a Super Bowl quarterback. That is a huge advantage. It's a gigantic advantage. They're already in that. Now, you say, oh, he's going to need a better coach and a better defense. It's New England. They always have those two. Mac is clearly good enough to win a Super Bowl. Not saying he's going to, or Joe Burrow's going to, or Josh Allen's going to, but they're good enough to. And I think he exhibited that over the last 7-8 weeks. So they're already out of the bus category and already into the let's build stuff around him. That's why it was so key for Lamar Jackson. They drafted him. They saw amazing stuff. They got him Greg Roman, the coordinator. Greg Roman would not be the right coordinator for a lot of quarterbacks. But once you find, oh, we got our guy. He is special. Then you get him a coordinator that works just for him. You start building the offense just around what he does well. Get him the right tight ends. It solves everything. It solves everything. And, you know, this league has always been, you draft all these quarterbacks in the first round. Last half decade, 6 or 7 are done. 6 or 7 can win you a Super Bowl. And then the other 6 or 7, they stabilize your organization to a degree, but you'll take every phone call that comes to upgrade. So you want to be in one category for sure. New England's already in it, but the other one's not terrible. You just probably can't win a Super Bowl with them. And I would say that always feels like a kind of a Kirk Cousins category. They win some games. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. So say what you want about New England. They've already moved out of one category and into the most important category in the league. That's the category. Do you got a guy? 13 games in, boom, we're done. We know we got him. And you can just work on stuff, work around his weaknesses. You know he's not overly athletic. We got to have a ground game. You know, there's things he can't do. All right, let's get out of that space and into the support Mac Jones space. It's a great space to be in. So the other thing I was thinking about this morning is that this is getting to be the time of the year where we start talking about firing coaches. Now, on average, over the last, I think, didn't we do this a couple weeks ago? On average, 7 get fired. That's like the 20-year average. This is a strange year where there's only a couple of them that we think are going to get fired. But we know what's going to happen over the next month. It's going to add up to about 6 or 7 coaches in trouble. And it's really it right now. Mike Zimmer, Vic Fangio, Matt Nagy, Joe Judge, those are the ones we're talking about. But when you're considering firing a coach, here's what I would say. You can't just go off win-loss record. Otherwise, you'd fire Kyle Shanahan. But Kyle Shanahan has something, and none of us can argue this, an identity. Power football, power running. He has an idea. You know what he can draft for, and you know what he creates. I mean, good God, 6-round running back looks like a Pro Bowler. If it was just win-loss record, you'd fire Brian Flores. He's 21-24. But they have an identity. Physical, tough, defense, conservative offense. Can't fire Brian Flores or Kyle Shanahan. Where Joe Judge and Matt Nagy get into problems is, what do they do well? 2 years ago, Matt Nagy, in my opinion, had an identity. I used to say it all the time in the show. Offensively, smoke and mirrors. So when Chicago was getting to the playoffs with Trubisky, I kept saying, good defense, smoke and mirrors on offense. Meaning, he was elevating Trubisky beyond his talent. A lot of bubble screens, a lot of jumbo sets, a lot of motion jets. It was just a bunch of stuff and movement, and it was just to make Trubisky good enough to get to 17 points. But now, that offense has no identity. When I think of the Bears, I think of bad offensive lines, confusion at quarterback, and an aging, expensive defense. And that's Joe Judge's problem. They're not even good on special teams, and he's a special teams guy. What is the identity of the Giants? What do they do well? Virtually nothing. And so when I say, if you're thinking about, and this is why I'd say be very careful about firing Vic Fangio in Denver. Because Vic Fangio, like Belichick, Justin Herbert really struggles against Denver. Why? Because Fangio, next to Belichick, is one of the smartest defensive guys in the league. When I look at Denver, I see talent and I see a little bit of an identity. They're a physical, complex, aggressive defense. All they're missing is a quarterback. I'd be very careful about running Vic Fangio out of town. I feel like I get the same thing out of them most weeks. I just don't have a quarterback that can take me to another place. So it can't just be win-loss record. Shanahan's got an identity. Flores has an identity. I think, by and large, Denver has an identity. But Matt Nagy and Joe Judge, I don't know what they are. And that's where you get into problems. Now, Joy is less patient than I am. She says, end of year one, I want to see an identity. I think if you really, I think the Giants are such a mess. They have the wrong GM. I'm willing to give somebody like Thanksgiving of year two in the NFL. I'll give you Thanksgiving of year two. If you got a bad GM, it's hard to overcome them. But, and I was a Joe Judge fan, but it's just getting worse and worse. And I don't know what they are. And so I can't argue out of that. Flores, Kyle Shanahan, I'll argue all day long. Fangio, this now it depends on what they do. If they go 0-4 down the stretch, it's different. Fangio today I would retain. I really would. I think I feel like I get the same thing. Joy's got these guys all on the beach.
No. But I mean, when you're talking about Flores, you saw what he was building by the end of year one.
I'll give you an example.
Dan Campbell's been struggling, but we see what he's building. It's in year one.
I'll give you an example. So Brandon Staley of the Chargers is 12 games into his career, and he already has an identity. Smart and aggressive. Like, they go for it on fourth down. Like,
right.
So, like, it doesn't take forever to create an identity, and Brandon Staley with the Chargers already has one. Like,
Stefanski did that. So it's not that I'm saying fire them after year one, but I'm saying by the end of year one, we should see something that we can point to that you've developed.
Yes.
Some personality, some identity, something because, that you're trending towards.
You know, I always say this. Football's not, it's complicated. I'm not saying that. But if I can't see it, then the players probably can't. Like, players want to know when they drive to practice or drive to the games. Like, in Miami, those players know exactly what they are.
Well, when you talk to players about their coaches, and they do like their coaches, one of the main things that players say is that they are consistent. Players respect consistency.
Yes.
You are who you are all the time.
You are what you
do what you say. You're a man of your word. You go through with what you say you're going to go through. If you say this is a line nobody can cross and someone crosses it, you hold them accountable.
Yeah.
Accountability is what keeps that many people on the same page, is that we know what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what good coaches do. So I'm not saying you have to translate into wins right away.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell's clearly not winning,
but I do
despite
feel,
this week, but we feel like they're building something.
And I will say this, Nick Sirianni, who I was a big critic of, I have no problem being wrong. Philadelphia's got an identity. They run the heck out of the football. So Nick Sirianni and Dan Campbell, and I was the guy that I was very critical. I hated their press conferences.
Right.
I'd like
no,
you
me too. I didn't.
It was bad.
It was not good optics.
But Philadelphia absolutely has an identity. I know exactly. By the way, in that division, Dallas has a little bit of one. Washington has a little bit of one. Philly has one. What do the Giants do well? I have no idea what they do well. So to me, I defend Joe Judge and Matt Nagy. 2 months ago, I defended him. But now we're getting to the end of this year, and I can't. It's hard. If you're an offensive coach, it's really hard. You got Dalton, this whole young quarterback thing's hard. But I don't know what Chicago is offensively anymore. It feels like they're just making it up. And I'm not saying it's easy, but, so there's my takeaway. If you can't just go win loss record with this stuff. You need to run Brian Kelly out of Notre Dame. You need to run a lot of coaches off if you're just going to go wins and Pat Fitzgerald. At Northwestern, you just can't go to W's and L's, but you watch Northwestern football play with their talent, and they're almost always, you feel like they're overachieving for their talent defensively. You're almost always like, how are they so good defensively? They don't have five-star guys. You got to show me, and if I can't see it, then how do your players see it? All right. We got Joel Klatt around. He's all revved up. I love those teaching moments with Klatt. Show him a little bit about the game.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow on Thursday Night Football, it's a clash of playoff hopefuls. Big Ben and the Steelers head to Minnesota to face Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. Thursday Night Football at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video.
The season hanging in the balance for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
AFC North is pretty open right now.
You know, Cincinnati's got a big game with the 49ers. Pittsburgh's got a big game with the Vikings. That division is wide open. I mean, literally, Cincy could win it, Pittsburgh could win it, Baltimore could win it, and the team I can't talk about could win it. That is a wide... None of them great. All of them got issues.
Well, I think it's fair that if the team you can't talk about, Cleveland, made it to the playoffs, then you would be in the clear to discuss them.
Yeah, no, just not the quarterback. That's our new rule.
I think if it's in the playoffs, it's relevant. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you'll be able to.
A man
avoid
of my
that.
Word. You said you like a man of your word.
I do. I like consistency with people. It's very important. But if the circumstances change,
yeah,
you have to be flexible.
All right, Joy with the news. No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Well, the Cowboys started the season red hot, Dak Prescott looking fully recovered from his ankle injury. But yeah. Since Dak suffered a calf injury in week six, the offense hasn't looked quite the same. And Jerry Jones doesn't think that Dak is to blame.
The thing that you're seeing is sometimes the pass that looks errant is because the receiver, for instance, ran the route, cut it off 2 yards shorter.
Oh.
He should be out two more yards before he makes his cuts. And so if you're not really crisp on the way the play was designed relative to how many yards you go, the cut, then your passing game can look really off.
Oh, I like that. That's getting deep into those schemes and route concepts. I like that.
Well, Jerry's a football guy.
Yeah.
We give Jerry a hard time.
But he played
Jerry
football.
Jerry is a football guy.
Yeah.
I don't think that the passing game is at all the issue with Dallas.
No. If when they run the football and can do play action, they're fine. They win their games. They're fine. They have seven playmakers. That makes you a viable playoff team. We've said that before. That's one of my issues with New England. They don't have seven playmakers. You have to be really well coached. Dallas is fine. If Zeke, I was thinking about this driving in this morning. Tony Pollard's right now a better back. Zeke will probably be great this week because he gets extra time off. Like,
right.
As an aging player, remember when Drew Brees missed five games, came back, and we're like, God, Drew's amazing because he got 5 weeks off. I think Zeke is fine if, like, they got a bye in the playoffs. You get a really good Zeke game. Or, like, this week, they play on Thursday. So I suspect if you play fantasy football, I don't, Zeke's going to have a good game. I would bet on Zeke to have a good game this
week. Well, they do play Washington on Sunday. They're currently 4-point favorites. Washington is playing really well right now. They're 6-6.
I like Dallas to win the game. I like Washington the number. But I think Dallas wins.
It's a divisional game, so those can go either way. Washington essentially controls their fate the rest of the way out. They play all divisional games for the rest of the season. Cowboys are 8-4 and are first in the NFC. So hypothetically, if the Cowboys collapsed, Washington could catch them. I don't think that it will happen. But the Giants are at the bottom of the division. The Eagles are very interesting. The Cowboys feel like the best team in the division. They have more playmakers, to your points. They have more stars, and obviously they have Dak.
By the way, did I tell you this? This is the second best week of numbers all year. It's a great week.
Mm.
Yeah, now you shouldn't listen to me. I've been, dog food all year. Although I had a winning week last week. I've had 3 of 4 winning weeks. Had a great college betting season. 3 of 4 winning weeks in the NFL. This is a great week for numbers. It's not good. It's fantastic.
Well,
I've already spent my money. I bought a speedboat. I got everything spent.
So the Blazing Five will be good this week.
Yeah.
So Ben Roethlisberger is usually a limited participant in practice early in the week. But this week he's playing on Thursday. And he said there's only so much he can do to prepare his body for the short week.
It's just a different spot in my arm. It's my shoulder that hurts more than my elbow. My elbow feels great, thanks to the doctors. It's just dealing with, I've thrown, wish someone could keep track, a million throws in my life. So at some point, your shoulder starts to wear down a little bit. So, just like any quarterback, your arm always hurts a little bit.
I mean,
what's the line? I think Pittsburgh.
They are 3.5-point underdogs tomorrow night.
See, then I like Pittsburgh. I think Mike Tomlin is a dog. It's almost like Mike Tomlin's one of those guys that he needs because he's such a motivator, such a presence. He'd be a great, he was offended by being a college coach, but he would be a great college coach. He's like, he's got a huge presence. He'd walk into a house and be like, he's a big.
Oh, yeah, he'd be a great recruiter. I'm trying to think, I feel like he feels so Pittsburgh. He feels so Northeast.
No, I don't think
Northeast.
He's going to.
Like,
right.
I couldn't see him in the SEC.
No, Penn State or something. But again, Steelers is a bigger job. But the point being is Mike really needs an edge. And then his motivation, because it's hard to motivate a guy for 17 weeks. But last week, when they were a dog, you're like, oh, God, they're going to play great against Baltimore. I love them. TV underdog season on the brink. That's when Tomlin's teams are. I think he's the best underdog coach in the league.
Well, also we've given, you know, Ben a lot of slack this year.
Played great last week.
He did play great last week. This is what these Hall of Fame older quarterbacks do. Like, they are just going to give you inconsistent performances throughout the year because their bodies are not the same.
Remember Brady last year on Thursday against the Bears was terrible. Like, the old quarterback short week.
Brady's a different body than Ben.
But even he was bad in a short week.
I mean, everyone struggles. But the older quarterbacks, and especially Ben, who we're talking about potentially retiring at the end of the year, this will be interesting because it is a short week. But he doesn't need the quote-unquote reps.
Yeah.
So Mario Cristobal held his introductory press conference yesterday as new head coach at the University of Miami.
He was so good. So good.
And he was incredibly fired up.
I feel more driven, more motivated than ever. I can't wait to get to work. The University of Miami was a game changer in my life. I've never been the same, never, because of my experience here. We got to bring it in tight, and we got to bring it. Because when the U is on and the U brings it, there's nothing like it. And we got to get there, and it's going to take everybody.
Rah! Very good speech.
Don't you want to run through a wall?
He's gonna do great things. We're not saying he's winning natties. What we're saying is, if Miami's one of the two best teams in the ACC, and I think they will be, then he did a great job.
No, they want to win a national championship.
Of course they want. But I'm saying, if he goes, let's say, wins 10-10-9, he's absolutely an A hire. And they win bowl games. And they're on the national stage and they're on television. I mean, now networks don't even want to put them on television.
I think they've got to be in national championship contention by year four.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he gets lucky because they've got the quarterback and the skill people. What they don't have is a
line play.
Yeah, and their O-line's weak, and that's where he's amazing. And by the way, he's going to bring – watch Miami's offensive line recruiting class. In the next two years.
That's what he is. That's what he's going to do. He signed a 10-year, $80 million contract.
Woo! It's a lot of smoke. In Miami, you can buy a condo for that. Nice.
Well, Miami is much more expensive now than it was a couple years ago.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I mean, during the pandemic, everyone moved to Miami.
All right.
Everyone. But Mario, what's great about what Mario is saying is that's the thing at the U, is that former players are very involved with the program. There's been some regimes there that haven't brought them in.
Right.
And that causes some resentment, rightfully so, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to embrace the history. That's what college football is.
Yeah.
So he's their guy. Everyone's happy with this hire. That's what everyone wants to hear, that it's going to be a collective thing that everyone is involved in. And it's good. It's good when you see former players on the sidelines. It's good when you hear the alumni excited about
great.
What's happening. It's great for everyone. It's great for recruiting. It's great for the students. It's great for the brand. So he knows what he's doing. But that was a great, great introductory press conference. Everyone's fired up.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
It is rare when you get six big brands. And they're different brands. You have the the biggest West Coast brand, USC. You've got the flashiest brand, Miami. You've got the academic brand, Notre Dame. You've got the crazy LSU brand. Then you have the big dog, Oklahoma, which is changing conferences in 2 years. And like, you have all these different and they're all unique brands, and they've got six new coaches at six massive brands. And by the way, not all of them are going to work. I'm just telling you, Cristobal is going to work. Again, what are expectations? I'm not asking for national championships, except at LSU, because they had two suboptimal coaches that won natties. I think LSU has to win a national championship, to me. I think all the other brands have to just be top 10 programs and people will be satisfied. LSU's not satisfied with anything other than a national title.
LSU isn't, but I think within four to five years, USC and Miami they're going to expand the college football playoff, but they have to be serious contenders.
Okay, that's a good point. So if they extend it to 12 teams, I will say right now, by year three, Miami will be in it, Notre Dame will be in it, USC will be in it, I think LSU will be in it. I got my reservations about Oklahoma. I think the SEC, I think they could be a really good team and have three losses there every year. nail-biting losses. And Venables could be fine.
I mean, that's the exchange for going to the SEC.
Right now, you're battling for third. You're not Bama, you're not Georgia. So you're battling for third. And remember, you can go to the South. That doesn't mean you're of the South. Oklahoma does not feel like the SEC. And you're not beating Bama and Georgia. Or, by the way, you're not beating Texas A&M players right now because they're recruiting at a Bama level. Let's bring in Joel Klatt, voice of college football. Oh, he is so... Hey, it's good to see you. Happy holidays.
It's great to see both of you. How are you?
I'm great. So we were talking about this, is that six big brands, six new coaches, and I hate to say this to America, but one of them's not going to work. And I'll just throw out my, I'm a little worried.
No, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Brent Venables is interesting. So I have a program transitioning to the, not only the toughest conference, Kentucky now is good. Arkansas is now good. So the difference with the ACC, the Pac-12, and the SEC, you can play well and lose regularly on a Saturday night. So let's start with that.
Let's not make the assumption that Tennessee and Florida are all of a sudden flying high, though.
I didn't say that.
As if the conference is traditionally what we always know it, and Arkansas and Kentucky.
Okay, but here's the other thing. Even Saban acknowledges, yeah, you can't stop anybody anymore. I mean, Georgia can't stop. Venables is not only a defensive guy. His connections are defense, his world's defense, his sensibility is defense. Is that conference, the best offense is winning. Bryce is the best offense. Cam was the best offense. Burrow was the best offense. In the defensive conference, the best quarterback, the best offense wins. I'm not sure if Venables a home run. I have my reservations.
I liked the hire of Brent Venables a lot. I think that when you look at Brent's success over the last 20 years, he's basically been in half the national championship games over the last
20
years. As a coordinator, but that's what he needs to do, and that's what he's gotten the opportunity to do. He is outstanding, and he also has the history. I think that this was in large part a nod to the alumni and fan base because that's who they wanted away because of his history there. He had won a national championship. Okay. He had been with Bob
for
a long time.
That's who they wanted.
And he's got great energy. Oklahoma is one of the great brands historically in college football.
No denial.
They are not losing their recruiting base while they move to the SEC.
All right.
It may be a little bit more competitive on the field, but this is not a Nebraska move where they're losing ties with the one recruiting base that really helped them become a great
I don't think it's going to be
maintain
that.
A great presence in the sport. So I think it would be totally naive to think that Oklahoma will not continue to be Oklahoma under Brent Venables. I think it's an outstanding hire, and I think that they will continue to be a great program.
Just saying, it's a pretty good conference.
It is a good conference, their record against the SEC is also very good.
Yeah, it's a little different when you play them once every couple years and you play them every Saturday.
I think it'll benefit Oklahoma that they don't have to play nine conference games anymore. Now they can play the eight conference games in a softie in November. So you can play this game all day long.
Well, yeah, but my side's the right side.
The SEC has been incredibly top-heavy over the last five or 6 years.
The top's pretty good.
The top is elite and the best in college football.
By far.
There's no doubt. And it is the best conference. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But you mean to tell me that all of a sudden Texas A&M, after being linked with Oklahoma in the Big 12 and being definitely in its shadow for all of that period of time, is all of a sudden going to be the big brother on the block? Texas A&M has basically no history as it compares to Oklahoma.
Hey, agriculture at that school, that department, ag department's excellent. Okay, so let's go to this. I'm going to circle back to Harbaugh, but I want to touch on all these coaches. So, I love college football.
Yes.
But I have peeled back my coverage of it outside of you for the last 5 years. I think it's gotten too insular.
Regional.
Okay. I'm seeing all this Mario Cristobal, Miami, I don't know. I think I could make an argument. He's the best hire because even Jimmy Johnson told me once, he goes, the one thing at Miami, even when we ruled the sport, we struggled to get old linemen. This guy's the best offensive line recruiter, arguably in America. And that's the one thing that you're going to get receivers, backs, quarterback. That's not an issue at Miami. I think this has a chance to be a stupendous hire. Tell me how I'm wrong.
I don't think that you are. I would just say if I was taking the opposite side of the argument, right, which I'm not, because I'm gonna then also give you my thoughts on this. But if I was taking the opposite side, I would say that Mario has fallen short of where he's recruited. If he's recruited at level, 10, they've played at level 8 as far as record in a pretty soft conference.
That's fair.
Okay, so that's an argument that you would use, and it's factual. Having said that, his identity is exactly what Miami needs.
Hey, perfect.
Because
he is Miami. He's got a little swagger, a little
alpha. He's been
there.
He's the son of Cuban immigrants. He has a no excuse mentality about his work ethic and his ethos, and he wants every single day to be a reckoning in his program. Not only because he learned that as an assistant for Nick Saban, but because that's what his upbringing was, and that's what it was at Miami. You know, see, in large part, Miami lost their identity for so many years.
Yeah.
Basically, since they left the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
If you take a look at from 1980 to 2007, they lost 25 home games over that stretch.
Yeah.
No, 23, something like that. I mean, it was like never happened. Remember, they had the 58-game win streak at home at one point in there. Well, if you take a look at what they've done at the new stadium from 07 till now, it's only 14 years they've lost 23 games. It's basically the exact same number because they lost the identity of that stadium. But it's not just the stadium and where they play. It was also the identity and the culture of the program. You know, and he talked about that in his comments at his introductory press conference when he talked about, I don't want the players that want the flashy facilities. That's not Miami. He wants to go back to the rugged, gritty program that they were for the majority of their success. Yeah. And that's, I think, what's going to resonate with Miami, not only the fan base, but also the players down there that they can potentially retain, not let them get into that SEC footprint and become a great program once more.
Can Michigan play with Georgia more with Joel Klatt? You know, when we produce our show every day, we like to make every day a reckoning as well. That's how we produce
our right?
show. Every day
is
a reckoning.
It feels like your only reckoning is Wednesdays when I come on. But other than that, you know.
Just mailing it in.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, Joel Klatt, 44 school records he set as the Buffaloes starting quarterback. That is something. Now, they had just transitioned into an intramural program, but nonetheless, it was really big numbers.
It was actually that they just used to run the option. See? Smart.
Very smart.
Right.
Okay. I think Michigan can beat Georgia. Here's my issue with Georgia. So it's not the world's worst thing losing to Bama and playing them again, but I don't think they can beat Bama with Stetson at quarterback.
Hmm.
So I wonder, does Georgia think, listen, we match up with Michigan. Let's give JT Daniels the job back, get him ramped up, and then take him. I wonder what Georgia does at quarterback. I think Michigan matches up okay with them.
Yes, Michigan's playing as well as anybody out there, right? They're playing balanced football. The spread's about where I thought it would be.
Georgia
is clearly favored. If I had to make a straight up pick, I'd probably pick Georgia. But you're right, the Stetson Bennett piece of this, and it's not just him. It's just the nature in which and the philosophy in which they go about trying to win football games. They were lulled to sleep by a schedule that they thought was going to be very tough that ended up not being very tough.
Florida wasn't very good.
That's right. Tennessee wasn't great. Clemson didn't have an offense, basically. And so the schedule that they thought was going to test them, and boy, our defense is incredible, maybe the best effort ever. It wasn't actually tested to that point, so they were lulled to sleep as if they did not need the 2020 end of the season version of their offense under JT Daniels.
Good point.
And then all of a sudden they get up against Bama and it's like, oh wait, that's right. We did learn that lesson last year, and apparently we went away from it.
So why not go to JT Daniels?
I think it's somewhat risky, but I don't disagree with that.
He's more of a big play. He'll go downfield. I think he's more of a big play quarterback.
I do as well. I think he's a much better and more efficient passer when you get to the second and third level as opposed to what they have. I think that he can make the tight ends much better. Now, having said that, I actually think that this game is going to be really about Josh Gattis, who just won the Broyles Award, by the way, as the top offensive, or excuse me, assistant coach in college football.
Michigan.
He's the offensive coordinator for Michigan.
Yep.
And I thought that he came into his own this year in a really big way. Namely, the fact that in past years, I thought he got a little pass happy. And then early this year, it was like, boy, you can tell he's just trying to run the ball as much as possible, 60, 65%. But then at the end of the year, it was like the marriage of the two.
Yeah.
And he used it beautifully down the stretch, in particular against Ohio State, when it's like, don't get bored with something that's working. And so he ran the ball 20 times, only threw it four times in the second half, because Ohio State could not defend it. And yet in the previous games, you know, down the stretch, he was throwing the ball 52% of the time, and McNamara was throwing it for over 300 yards. So now all of a sudden they have this combination of the ability to throw the ball and the ability to run and be physical, and I think that combination is going to be difficult for Georgia. I don't think Michigan can just come in and just say, we're going to run the ball because that's our identity.
By the way, against Ohio State, they had a couple of big over-the-top throws. You're going to have you're not going to run 42 times against Georgia and jam it down their throats.
There's
not
no
going to happen.
But when you are balanced and you have the ability to throw the ball with play action, hit a couple of plays down the field with some good wide receivers that have come into their own, then all of a sudden you get back and you pop a run. Now you've got something going. And so, yes, I think Michigan's going to have a chance to win this game. I'll probably end up picking Georgia, but I think it's going to be a close game.
I just thought of something. That old America's honesty broker. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. That whole Brian Kelly y'all thing at the basketball game, that wasn't great.
No, it was terrible.
Now, I did say that a lot of Northern coaches do that once they get into the house. They start using y'all and ma'am. But man, does he not realize phones?
Oh gosh, it was painful. You know, it was like, even though she's from the South, it's like Reese Witherspoon's Southern accent. It's like, that's just not great. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
from the South is not. Brian, what are you doing, man? Be authentic. Authenticity is the greatest currency that a head coach can have with his team or future team. Okay, authenticity. That's not authentic.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Even though I took a recruiting trip when I was a senior in high school to North Dakota State, and all of a sudden I came back and everyone was like, where'd you go? And I was like, Fargo. And I was like, wait, why am I drawing out my O's? What's going on? Because I was in Fargo for a day.
Yeah. No, I said, I've sat down and had bourbon with Southerners, and by the end of the night, I'm saying y'all. I'm not lying. There's something about the language. It's an easy...
Smooth?
It's just kind of,
you know,
so
something
is the
about that. Using the bourbon is smooth, but something about that doesn't scream America's honesty broker.
No.
Using a fake
no.
accent with your friends
I've had
to curry favor over bourbon?
No, I've had.
You could just buy the drinks. You don't have to say y'all.
I've had a pint with British people. By the end of the night, I'm not going, oh, mate. That's Australian.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Whatever British people say. My mom was British. I don't know what they sound like. But I have had bourbon with Southern people, and I sound Southern by the end of the night. You just start, what it is? It makes you talk a little slower, and then you'll say y'all, and all of a sudden it's like, I'm Southern. I was here an hour and a half with
Brian's the not Southern.
No, he's not. Okay, how about Bryce Young?
I'm still getting over the mate.
What is a British thing? Can I have some fish and chips? I sound like Paul McCartney. What was that, mate? No, that's Australian.
No, it's Australian.
I will not be doing any British
What is a British
accent?
Thing? Cheerio.
I don't know.
Boom, nailed it.
Your mother was British.
I mean, you tell us.
Cheerio, clap.
That's it?
Okay.
I don't do fake accents.
Okay. Bryce Young.
Woo.
The feet, the fluidity.
Yeah.
You know, one of my producers said this the other day. He said he plays light.
Yeah.
What do you make of that, kid?
Well, I think that, he was throwing absolute laser beams around the Mercedes Dome. His performance was fabulous.
Eye-opening.
I think that he locked up the Heisman Trophy.
Oh,
obviously,
should.
And you see that with
the
odds.
Michigan defensive end deserves a couple votes.
Aiden's going to be, well, and he got there. I think Aiden Hutchinson will likely finish second.
He's going to get the Big Ten vote, and by the way, the
he's
Pac-12.
He's
going to
get a lot of the second
Pac-12
place
The Pac-12 will
votes.
Give him votes because they don't like the SEC.
I agree, although the only area in the country that actively votes against and other candidates is the South. And I always go back to the Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey year because there were so many ballots that came from quote, unquote, media members from the South that didn't even have Christian on the ballot.
Oh, I know.
At least the West Coast and Northern ballots had like Christian first and Derrick Henry second.
It can be very juvenile.
It's very juvenile, but whatever. I digress. Bryce is probably going to win the award, and he should, because that performance against Georgia was outstanding. He does play light. He's got great footwork, and it's almost a throwback footwork. He doesn't have the side saddle like rhythm to his footwork. Have you noticed how many times he just kind of backs up? There's like a unitis quality to it, and he's just kind of backpedaling, and then the back foot, bang, hits the ground, and the ball is out, and he's throwing an absolute laser. His calm and poise and pressure is pretty outstanding. What he did late against Auburn in the Iron Bowl, the throws that he makes,
remember that one to the corner?
The corner it was phenomenal. Well, and there was also one against Georgia where offensive line's doing a great job. He's got all the protection in the world. He doesn't panic. How many times, by the way, one of my pet peeves out there is when a quarterback runs out of the pocket when there's no pressure. If no one's forcing you to leave, just sit there. He directs traffic. He's like, no, go this other way. And he's like, shoo, and just throws an absolute seed. It was beautiful.
Cheerio.
That's it. America's honesty broker with his fake accent.
I'm just saying, a bourbon in the South, you start being Southern.
All right, mate.